Rumpus time is over.
There's a new sheriff in town.
Luke's crazy.
Did you hear that, Brian?
Luke, we're gonna have company!
Brian! Bad guys of the galaxies, beware! The defender of the universe is here!
In order to form a more perfect union.
Luke! Brian!
Luke Bryan's!
One margarita, two margarita, three margarita shot.
Stop that! You're not going into a song while I'm here.
And now for something completely different.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Talking Heads.
Good afternoon and welcome to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Minus the Brian this afternoon. I'm tapping in for the big guy, doing a little tag team duo going on here.
Brian, shh. Yeah, man. No, we're good to go. All right, let's do this.
What? You got sound of Brian now when he's not here? And I am joined on the board by Evan. Appreciate you stepping up, Evan, and helping out today. I also caught a little bit of you and Brian yesterday on the air together. So great job filling in then as well. But no Brian today. You get a little extra dose of Luke back from a long weekend up north. But if you want to join me on the phone lines, you can give me a call. Send me a text, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. We're going to dive into a number of headlines, but we got you're listening to us on Devil Radio 92.7 FM here in Madison, broadcasting live from the Solidarity Realty Studios on Madison's Near West Side. You're also listening to the program on the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM out in Waukesha. Like I said, you can join the show at any time. Share your tangent, 844-967-2789. Those phone lines are open. And Evan, let's dive into the headlines of today.
A great disturbance in the force, as if millions of voices suddenly cried out in terror and were suddenly silenced.
Well, I don't know if there's silence, but I believe there's going to be some people interested to hear this news. That is Obi-Wan Kenobi letting us know that, yes, indeed, the former guy is coming to southeastern Wisconsin. If you're hearing my voice right now on the Shaw 101 FM or WAUK 540 AM, heads up, the former guy is coming to your neck of the woods August 5th, Friday before the partisan primary.
I deluded myself into thinking we don't want him, you know? Like... where I go, the circuit that I run, I'm among friends. You know, this is an easy topic. Oh, he's coming? That guy, you know?
It's an interesting because some people are excited. They're excited to cover the circus coming to town, for lack of better terms. But Crudy came running down the hallway here at the Devil Radio Studios and was like, guess what? Trump's coming. We're going to go cover it. We're covering it. He's coming to the Shaw. He's going to be in Waukesha on August 5th, the Friday before the partisan primary. And he's going to be stumping for Tim Michaels. First reported that I saw over at Molly Beck at the Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. But I got to give Crudy credit. He was the first one to tip me off that the reporting was out there. So the former guy coming to Waukesha, stumping for Tim Michaels, who still is kind of maybe for... We don't really know exactly. He's not saying that decertifying the 2020 election, which seems to be Trump's number one priority in the state of Wisconsin, is necessarily Tim Michaels' number one priority. But he also said that he was open to signing a bill if it came across his desk and he'd have to read it and learn more if elected governor. So open to the idea of decertification, but not necessarily saying it's going to be a spearhead priority of his. Going to be stumping for Tim Michaels, though. Donald Trump, former President Donald Trump, coming to Waukesha Friday, August 5th.
And Michaels needs the help, man, because that was a sad, sad showing at the debate the other night.
See, I watched the Democratic primary debate. I didn't watch that one. Evan, I was in the Northwoods, so I'll be fair. I was without service or internet access pretty much all weekend.
It was wild.
Wild. Okay. Well, I'm going to have to... It's on my list of things to catch up on, but with everything else that we're doing here around the stations, I was like, not a top line priority for me.
Sure.
So definitely, I was shocked to hear that he actually showed up, though. Previous debates he had skipped out on. So it's good to know that he was at least in attendance, but according to Evan, a little bit of a lackluster...
Oh, man, just white-knuckling that podium. Man, yeah. He had no idea what he was talking about. It was pretty good.
Well, in other GOP gubernatorial news, and I don't know if this really makes headlines or not, but it is something that happened today. Texas Senator Ted Cruz, U.S. Senator from Texas, Ted Cruz, endorsed Rebecca Clayfish in that race. So notably, Ted Cruz won the Wisconsin primary in 2016. He was the choice of the, I believe there was only three remaining candidates in 2016, Trump, Kasich, and Cruz. And Ted Cruz won the state pretty late in the primary process. It was almost inevitable at that point that Trump was going to wrap up the Republican nominee in 2016 to be the Republican nominee. But Ted Cruz was the voter's choice still in Wisconsin. So I don't think it's all that important. I don't think Ted Cruz makes a huge political influence here in the state of Wisconsin. But maybe, I don't know. Clayfish has got his endorsement, and I have a feeling that's going to be kind of second fiddle, at least to say, to the Trump news today that he's coming to town stumping for Tim Michaels ahead of that partisan primary on August 9th. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. If you want to join the show at any time, our phone lines are open, 844-967-2789. Evan will be lightly screening those calls. But join me on the air. We've got a number of other Wisconsin headlines that we're going to dive into. And in the same vein, we got some other news on the other big race that is going on August 9th for the partisan primary here in the state of Wisconsin. We got one of the candidates dropping out of the Democratic primary field just 2 weeks before the election, which is going to be held 2 weeks from today. So if I believe early voting is beginning in numerous areas around the state. So if you're looking to vote early in person, today marks the beginning of that for numerous areas around Wisconsin. But Tom Nelson, Outagamie County Executive and candidate for U.S. Senate, announced yesterday that he is dropping out of the race and endorsing Mandela Barnes, Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, in the Democratic primary. Essentially, Tom Nelson was pretty frank with his supporters. He tweeted it out yesterday, "We ran out of money." So he's suspending his campaign and endorsing the one candidate who is not trying to buy this election, referencing the other millionaires in the race, Sarah Gadlewski, and vice president on leave from, state treasurer, Sarah Gadlewski.
And Nelson is just a winner, man. I don't know. I've liked that guy ever since I first, met him, spoke to him about a year ago. And just a class act. I mean, here we go. Somebody who's, I feel like he's truly working for the state.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I think that he had a great message. I just don't know if that necessarily he was the first candidate to announce in this race. If people may forget, Tom Nelson announced his candidacy before the 2020 election actually took place. It was, I believe, the late summer, early fall of that year of 2020. The Wisconsinites were still waiting to go to the polls to either choose to reelect Donald Trump or send Joe Biden there instead. They sent Joe Biden to the White House instead here in Wisconsin. But Tom Nelson jumped in the race super early. And I can understand why a candidate would perceive maybe that is a good strategy for him, but maybe it wasn't the best since the money did run out. It's a really long campaign to run from August, September, October of 2020 until now. That's not easy to sustain a campaign that long. And so Nelson dropped out, endorsed Barnes, and I think it's going to play an effect for where rural Democrats here in the state of Wisconsin are going to be voting 2 weeks from today, or from now until 2 weeks from today. We got early voting starting, and voting will continue to take place. Absentee voting started, I believe, 2 weeks ago already. So we've got absentee ballots being sent back in. We've got early voting occurring now. And in-person voting on August 9th. And there's a lot of time between now and then, but we're going to see some shakeups here in the two big primaries on August 9th. The Democratic primary for U.S. Senate has lost a candidate in Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson, endorsing Barnes in the race, and the former president coming to the state of Wisconsin, coming to Waukesha, crucial Waukesha County, and the other aspect of that, Evan, is I think I'm going to have to avoid Milwaukee at all costs that weekend now, because that's the kickoff weekend of state fairs. So between the former president coming to Waukesha and all other Wisconsinites going to the state fairgrounds, it is going to be a hectic, hectic weekend in southeastern Wisconsin. But I'm going to have to go watch that primary debate between the GOP candidates for governor, because That is something that I did miss this weekend. But if you want to catch me up on any of the headlines that I may have missed while I was out and Brian and Evan were doing double duty while I was gone, give me a call, 844-967-2789. This is Dueling Tangents. I got a number of other Wisconsin headlines that I'm going to get into as we go on throughout the show. A couple of questions I've got for the listening audience. Am I getting cynical, or is one of the questions that was posed in that GOP gubernatorial primary something that would actually come through if a Republican took over the governor's office here in the state of Wisconsin? I have a feeling it's a bad faith argument, but I believe that maybe I am getting cynical. Maybe it is me. I'm not sure, Evan, but that's going to be one of those ones that we're going to dive into, as well as there's numerous motor vehicle crashes over the weekend, and a few including one with a state senator, minority leader Janet Buley in a car accident up in northern Wisconsin. So we'll dive into those headlines and share some news around that, as well as a new lawsuit being pioneered by Law Forward, the law firm focusing on voting rights here in the state of Wisconsin. Law Forward will be representing four Wisconsin voters with disabilities that cannot move their arms or legs, and we're going to dive into a little bit more of the details surrounding that lawsuit as we come up as well. But this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian this afternoon. But if you want to join the show, 844-967-2789. You can follow along by following the show on Twitter at Dueling Tangents. You can also like the stations at Devil Radio 927 on Twitter and Facebook, and at WAUK Radio for the Shaw's Facebook and Twitter pages as well. Evan, really appreciate you joining me on the board today. We're going to get into a number of other Wisconsin headlines as the day goes on. But the big news of the afternoon, the former president is coming to southeastern Wisconsin, coming to the listening area of the Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Friday, August 5th. It's going to be interesting to see. Will he make up for a lackluster performance by Tim Michaels in that debate? Who knows? Taking your calls, this is Dueling Tangents, 844-967-2789. We'll be right back.
The Summer of Love 2.0 Boosted Boogaloo continues with another Summer Rager at Hawk's Bar and Grill on State Street. Hawk's original neighborhood bar is now celebrating 20 years in business. Tuesday, August 2nd, join the...
Welcome back. This is Dueling Tangents. Here we go.
Dude, that was the craziest thing that's ever happened to me.
Yeah, just a little programming.
Literally, yeah, I don't know. I'll have to look closely because that can't happen.
I'll take
that
a look at it
later. Today.
No Ooh. Worries.
Ooh, buddy.
But as I was saying, taking your phone calls, your tangents, texts, 844-967-2789. You can also tweet us at Dueling Tangents. Big headline of the day, the former president is coming to southeastern Wisconsin, going to be coming to Waukesha to stump for Tim Michaels in the GOP gubernatorial primary on Friday, August 5th, the Friday before the August 9th partisan primary. So that's going to be coming up. That is the big news. But we've also, this is something, Evan, that I didn't get to watch the debate, but this is something that I saw as a headline today going through, catching up on the news after being gone this weekend. The headline over at Wisconsin Public Radio, WPR.org, Republicans signal support for paid family leave in governor's debate. And I find this fascinating because...
Fascinating.
It is fascinating because can't imagine there's anything else other than just maybe trying to virtue signal after the post Roe v. Wade being turned over by the radical U.S. Supreme Court. And I don't really, because regardless of what any Republican candidate says on this issue, there's no way that Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu, or the Republican majority as a whole, or their interests like ALEC, the American Legislative Exchange Council, or more locally here in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, WMC, the state's largest business lobby. There's no way that any of those other participants in the process of making legislation like paid family leave would go along with that proposal. It is a test balloon to try to see if they can reclaim some of the voters that I think Republicans are going to lose this fall in the November elections because of the radical overhaul of 50 years of legal precedent in the overturning of Roe v. Wade. There is no support whatsoever from Republican lawmakers to pass paid family leave, and yet somehow these Republican candidates are getting the good press for floating the idea that maybe they would support paid family leave in Wisconsin. So reading from the piece over by Sean Johnson at WPR, the Republicans running for governor signaled varying levels of support for paid family leave during a GOP primary debate Sunday, backing a position that's previously been supported by Democrats in Wisconsin. But on other issues, and we're not going to talk about the other issues, because I want to talk specifically about this issue. On the issue of paid family leave, Michaels was clearer. Candidates were asked about South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem's suggestion that paid family leave should be offered in states with abortion bans. Michaels, referencing his family construction company, said he leads by example. So because he does offer it as an employer, he believes that he could get it to... I don't understand that. I guess it's great that Michaels' construction employees have paid family leave, but there's no way. There's no way that a Tim Michaels administration, a Michaels administration, would get paid family leave passed by Robin Voss and LeMahieu.
And I am over this whole notion that government is equal to business.
It's okay? A terrible it's comparison. Just not.
Being business is transactional. Employee, employer. You know, there's this back and forth. There are laws. You know, there's it's a relationship in a different way than leading a state.
Yeah. It's a completely different relationship. And the fact that Tim Michaels is like, oh, I'm leading by example, but means he believes he could just get it passed. I guess it's slightly better than Clayfish just saying she was open to the idea. She was a previously a lieutenant governor. She served in an executive administration here in the state of Wisconsin. And I believe the state of Wisconsin, I actually don't know what the paid family leave option is. I don't think it's... State employees, I do not believe, have a solid paid family leave option. So maybe if Michaels got elected, I just don't believe that he'd make it happen.
Not at all. They're talking about this $5.3 billion surplus that Wisconsin has as sort of...
3.8.
Excuse me. If only, right?
A lot of numbers. If only. Yeah, if it was even that higher. But they'd still be sitting on it. They'd still be sitting on it to do tax cuts.
That we need to, yeah. We need to get rid of taxes, not even cut taxes. We need to get rid of stuff on our income taxes. We need to stop having taxes.
They want
to
get rid of the personal.
Schools.
They want to eliminate the Republican lobbyists and Republican special interest groups have floated the idea of removing the income, the personal income tax here in the state of Wisconsin. That's what Republicans want to do. To believe that there would be any mechanism or anything resembling paid family leave in a 2023-2024 Republican administration state budget is comical. There's no way that anything like that happens. And maybe I am getting cynical.
Maybe
I should be more open and try to take it in good faith, but
no, please.
It's been a really repeat history of bad faith arguments from these actors in the Republican Party in the state of Wisconsin. And there's just nothing in their recent past that shows me this would be a serious proposal pursued by any Republican administration. Michaels, Clayfish, or that other crazy guy that, you know, is running on decertification.
Oh my goodness.
I don't even know what his
Rantham's
options
were. They ate it up all night. He had the biggest applause lines of the whole night.
Yeah, Trump has the biggest rallies, which is why people think that he's so great as well, but yeah. He is certifiably insane still. So it's definitely, I don't think the applause lines are necessarily the best indicator of whether or not that would be the best candidate. So we'll leave that up for another day, Evan. But Republicans proposing, GOP gubernatorial candidates proposing paid family leave as an option if they get elected. Possibly? I doubt it. I truly, truly doubt it. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian, minus the Brian, with your phone calls, 844-967-9967. 2789. We'll be right back. Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian this afternoon, without the Brian, but with Evan on the board and you on the phone lines, 844-967-2789. You're listening to the program on Devil Radio, 92.7 FM, WTTN, 1580 AM here in Madison. And in Waukesha, you're listening on the Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, broadcasting live out of the Solidarity Realty Studios here on the near west side of Madison. And it's a gorgeous Tuesday afternoon that feels like a Monday because it took the long weekend, but definitely trying to catch up to all the headlines that I missed while I was gone. So outside of the breaking news this afternoon that the former guy is coming to southeastern Wisconsin, former President Donald Trump will be in Waukesha on Friday, August 5th, stumping for Tim Michaels, and me kind of laying out my belief that it's a pretty bad faith argument coming from the GOP gubernatorial candidates that they would support a paid family leave program here in the state of Wisconsin. That's kind of hard to say. Say that three times fast on a Tuesday catching up after all these headlines. I want to dive next into a lawsuit that was filed yesterday about four voters here in the state of Wisconsin that, as we've discussed on this program and on numerous stories across these stations, the disenfranchisement of certain voters in the state of Wisconsin because of the Wisconsin Supreme Court's ruling just over 2 weeks ago now that absentee ballot drop boxes are not outlined in state law. But despite that, they had been used for years and given broad authorization in the 2020, leading up to the 2020 elections by the Wisconsin Elections Commission to use them. So the GOP's constructed body to oversee elections, the Wisconsin Elections Commission, green-lighted absentee ballot drop boxes. They were recommended by Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican, out of the Burlington, Wisconsin area. Green-lighted them, said they were good to use ahead of the 2020 election.
There was a great line, the debate this weekend, where I believe it was Ramthun talking about illegal drop boxes and how illegal they are and all the illegal things they do. And, you know, this long rambling lie of an answer. The moderators come back and, you know, try and sort of set the record straight and say, just, you know, while they were ruled that they can't be used, it was not illegal to use them in 2020. The audience boos, cacophonous boos and jeers.
Do you think, Evan, that Tim Rantham would support like going back and just rewriting all of the victories and losses for the NBA before the three-point line was established?
You know what? I don't think he would.
I mean, I believe that Ron Dane's total yardage for playoffs should be counting towards his. I believe it's still a record that would be set by Ron Dane if you counted all of his postseason games as well for total yardage as a running back, but it doesn't count because for a really long time there, the NCAA didn't qualify that as part of your total yardage for a season. And so there's plenty of indications where you don't go back and change the results of a contest that was already conducted. And it was green-lighted. It was A-OK'd by the Wisconsin Elections Commission and by the Wisconsin legislature not acting ahead of the 2020 election to give additional guidance to the WEC. They were fine with what the WEC was doing. They could have took them to the court. There were numerous lawsuits taken leading up to that election, but you can't go back and change the results after they've been certified. You can't do it. It's legally impossible. But the Wisconsin Supreme Court, Brian Hagedorn and the three other conservative justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court voted 4-3 in saying that absentee ballot drop boxes, since they're not clearly defined in state law, they cannot be used for upcoming elections. For them to be used, it would require an act from the Wisconsin legislature. And just like my belief that there is no way that a paid family leave program will pass the Republican-led legislature here in the state of Wisconsin, there is no way that Robin Voss and Devin LeMahieu would greenlight absentee ballots through codify the use of absentee ballot drop boxes through legislative action. They won't do it. And so without that, they are not allowed to be used in elections going forward. State of Wisconsin now has very strict, much stricter laws now after that ruling when it comes to how an absentee ballot can be returned. And it infringes upon with some Wisconsinites' ability to return those absentee ballots. They did not specifically say if somebody else can mail an absentee ballot on your behalf if you cannot. Because there are voters in the state of Wisconsin that have the right to vote. The U.S. constitutionally guaranteed right to vote. That this decision now throws their ability to do so into limbo. Because up to this point, caretakers for the disabled population in the state of Wisconsin was a large portion of the people before the 2020 election, was a large percentage of the individuals voting via absentee ballot. If you could not physically get to a ballot box, your ability to fill out an absentee ballot and then have a caretaker, a loved one, a family member be able to drop that in a drop box, which again were widely used before 2020, or drop it in the mail for you, was a way for you to be able to participate in your ability to vote, your constitutionally right to vote. And now this Wisconsin Supreme Court ruling throws that into limbo. And so four disabled voters here in the state of Wisconsin are filing a lawsuit to have the federal courts step in when it comes to this case specifically. We are 2 weeks out, 2 weeks from today is the August 9th primary. And we have a lawsuit being filed on behalf of four Wisconsin voters by Law Forward looking for a federal judge to intervene and ensure that absentee ballots can be returned by disabled voters, or the absentee ballots of disabled voters by caretakers, because it was thrown into limbo. So this is reading over the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Got Molly Beck writing up the piece. Four Wisconsin voters with significant physical disabilities are asking a federal judge to ensure their absentee ballots may be returned to election clerks by caretakers in upcoming elections after a state Supreme Court ruling banned such practices. The voters, who are each unable to move their arms or legs, or have severe limited mobility, argue the court ruling violates the U.S. Constitution, the Americans with Disabilities Act, the Voting Rights Act, and the Civil Rights Act. Those are four big ones. All four of those, this lawsuit contends, are being violated now because of the strict ruling by the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Reading from the quote surrounding it, without ballot return assistance, many voters with disabilities, including plaintiffs, would be unable to access Wisconsin's absentee voting program, rendering the statutorily provided method of voting unavailable to qualified voters with disabilities, even while it would remain available to other Wisconsin voters, the lawsuit alleges. That's the important part to note here. Without the strict guidance from the Supreme Court or the Wisconsin Elections Commission or the Wisconsin State Legislature surrounding how absentee ballot return can be accessed by individuals with disabilities is disenfranchising those voters' ability to participate in the absentee ballot voting. That's the whole crutch of it. Excuse me. It is whole crutch of it. But it's fascinating to me that this is something that the Wisconsin Supreme Court just left out of whether or not somebody else can mail your absentee ballot. They said that it was the individual that signed the absentee ballot had to be the one to return it to the clerk, but they left out the fact of who could mail it back now that drop boxes cannot be used. Returning back to the piece, in a 4-3 ruling that came just 4 weeks before the August 9th primary election, the state Supreme Court's conservative majority ruled state law does not permit unmanned absentee ballot drop boxes and that voters could not give absentee ballots to someone else to submit to a clerk's office. It did not bar others from dropping absentee ballots in the mail for voters. We've got four individuals suing, at least here in federal court, suing to make sure that they have the ability to vote via absentee ballot by having their ballots returned by caregivers. Folks, you're listening to Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. I want to hear your opinions on the headlines of today. Give me a call, 844-967-2789. You can be like our friend Jeannie in Eau Claire. Jeannie, what's on your mind today?
Well, welcome back. You were missed. I have to tell you that we need to change these judges for sure, and they should be, like, fired today because that's the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen in my life. And let's talk about what is disability. Now, these are significantly disabled people, but what about people who are blind, who can't walk down the street, mail their ballot? I don't know, you know, if people have places to mail their ballot. You know, I know that the postman comes, you know, every day, maybe, but then your ballot in our area goes all the way to the cities and it comes back, and sometimes it takes a very long time. In addition to that, some people, I mean, what is wrong with their heads? Are they going to have cameras at their mailboxes? I don't get this. I don't get this at all, and I don't get why somebody can't take their ballots and take it and turn it into the clerk. I mean, this is ludicrous. But I have to tell you, nothing is normal with the Republicans anymore. They are ridiculous. And the sooner we vote them to heck out, the more we can go back to normalcy. I mean, Trump coming, give me a break.
You're not going to the Waukesha County Fairgrounds that day, Jeannie?
Oh, no, I don't. I would probably be sicker than a dog just puking and looking at the guy. I'm sorry for being so rude today, but God darn, I'm ticked at these people.
No, that's the...
I mean, they're just nuts.
I believe those feelings are shared by a lot of people here at the station, and so it's definitely not not that outside of an opinion to have around these parts. So some people are excited, though, Jeannie. Some people are excited to go see the circus when it comes to town.
Well, it is a circus, so maybe they'll be excited to see the biggest clown you'd ever see. But unfortunately, that clown is a scary clown that is responsible for potential, assault on our... Vice President Pence, give me a break, the guy that gets the people going. But you know, my favorite thing was watching with him was when he was taping what he was going to say, and he was trying to read the script, you know, about how bad these people were that, you know.
Yesterday is a hard word for me.
Huh?
Evans was saying it.
Yesterday is a hard word for me. No, those outtakes were something else.
Oh, I was sickened, you know. He had my background psych, and I thought, that guy's lunatic. He is a lunatic. And the sooner people wake up, the better off we're going to be. And the people that are following him and following in his footsteps, beware, folks, because these people aren't normal either. And their brain ain't functioning right. And if you guys vote for him, then you get what you deserve. But it's a horrible thing. I got to tell you, I've been just wound up watching what was going on. And Gableman, too.
Oh, there's some Gableman updates as well, Jeannie. But I don't know if we have enough time in today's show to go into those ones. But I appreciate your phone call. Thank you so much, Jeannie. But yeah, as I was driving, so I spent some time on the Upper Peninsula this past weekend. And that's where I was, you know, unplugging, recharging. And... on the drive up there and back, there were numerous Trump Pence signs with just the Pence spray painted out. It was the supporters of the Trump Pence ticket that are still very angry with Mike Pence. And so that feeling of hang Mike Pence / that guy, he could have helped to turn over the 2020 election. If only he had the courage, he should have acted. That feeling is out there in northern Wisconsin and in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And I saw numerous signs like that, and it's insane to believe that is where the party stands. And I feel like the August 9th primary here in the state of Wisconsin is going to be an excellent barometer of where both parties are at for their... You're going to see voter turnouts. You're going to see all of these takes about enthusiasm, about how much of the electorate votes for Tim Rantham versus Tim Michaels versus Rebecca Clayfish, and the same goes for the other side with the Democratic primary as well, where rural Democrats are, where Madison Democrats are, where Milwaukee Democrats are, and vice versa. You're going to see all of these takes afterwards, but we got to be talking about these things, Jeannie. I really appreciate your call, and you're right. You got to be calling out the crazy when you see it, and we got to keep having the conversation. Folks, this is Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. See your calls stacking up. We're going to continue on with the callers on the other side of this break. 844-967-2789. I'm dragging your stuff. 2789. Before I get to the callers, though, Evan, one of the things that I accomplished over the weekend, my time off, finally got my book done that I was reading of The Storyteller by Dave Grohl, frontman for the Foo Fighters, drummer in Nirvana.
Hell of a drummer.
And
hell of a man.
The life story. Just, I've been jamming out to Foo Fighters, Nirvana, and everything. Excellent read. Unplugged on Lake Superior. Finished up that book, which I've been meaning to do for weeks on end. So glad I actually had the opportunity to do that. But diving back into the Wisconsin headlines and your phone calls. Up next this afternoon, we got Gary from Sussex calling in. Gary, are you going to be attending the Trump stumping event for Tim Michaels on August 5th in Waukesha? Right in your neck of the woods.
Right. I don't know. I haven't been planning on doing that at all. I work all the time, so I really don't have much time to go to rallies and stuff like that. But I just want to ask you and your listeners, what did people do in 2016, 2012, and 2008? The citizens that were unable to walk or lift their arms and stuff like that, what did they do? Now, if I'm living at home and my wife broke her legs or was paralyzed and I'm taking care of her, I would take her ballot, I'd have her fill it out, and I would go to our mailbox and have the postman pick it up. This is what these people have been doing for years and years and years. As far as ballot harvesting, going into nursing homes and just sitting there and say, oh, yeah, okay, who do you want to vote for? Who do you want to vote for? That's illegal. You can't do that. You can't go to parks, pass out hot dogs and do whatever, and start harvesting ballots. I think that we've never done it before. Nobody ever cried about ballot boxes up until COVID. So why are they crying now that they can't use them? Because they just found out it's illegal. Now, if they make
it wasn't illegal, Gary. Hang on. I got to correct you on the terminology, because it's not illegal. There's no state law that says ballot boxes cannot be used. There is just no reference to absentee ballot drop boxes in state law. Therefore, they can't be used without express consent going forward. The state laws in Wisconsin left it up to the Government Accountability Board, before that was dismantled by the Walker administration and Republicans, to set up the Wisconsin Elections Commission. And unanimously, 6-0, both the 3 Republican and 3 Democrat appointees to the Wisconsin Elections Commission greenlighted the widespread use of absentee ballot drop boxes for Wisconsin voters to be able to vote safely amid the pandemic. And I agree, there was no crying about absentee ballot drop boxes or the absentee ballot process in the state of Wisconsin until Republicans lost. Donald Trump lost in the state of Wisconsin, and we've been having to deal with his hissy fit ever since. Robin Voss is trying to court the support from Donald Trump voters, saying that they're going after widespread election fraud. And you, Gary, are spouting the talking points, saying that democracy in the park, which I don't believe there were any hot dogs at, but you're trying to contend that as some form of ballot harvesting, which it wasn't. There were plenty of Wisconsinites that didn't have somebody to sign their absentee ballot. If you live alone in Wisconsin, how are you supposed to be able to vote absentee without a witness signature? How is that supposed to work, Gary?
I was at Bradford Beach, and I was in playing volleyball amongst like 300 other people. And there were young people going around passing out, trying to get people registered to vote.
There's nothing illegal about that. That is a great thing. That is young people participating in democracy, Gary. What is illegal about going and registering people to vote?
I'm just asking, is that legal?
Yes. It is.
Okay, well, that's fine. Is ballot harvesting legal?
There was no ballot harvesting.
And I think that's a loaded term. At the end of the day, you know, fraud is fraud. So, like,
what do Republicans mean by going to the parks and ballot harvesting and going to nursing homes and ballot harvesting? What does that mean?
They're upset that people who wouldn't normally vote. That's what it means. They're upset that more people.
Hang on, Evan. They're upset that the fact that there were Democratic areas with nonpartisan clerks encouraging people to vote. That's what Republicans are upset about. They're not upset that more the Republicans in Wisconsin, Gary, like when there's low voter turnout elections. That's what Republicans like. And that's most been the case for years.
Vote in person, and most Democrats vote absentee.
Hang on, Gary. Whoa, okay. Now you're pulling data out of your butt because absentee ballot voting was used by a majority of Republicans leading up to the 2020 election. Just Boomer. Because it was used as a safe model and larger cities that had probably longer waiting lines because of the slimming down of locations due to COVID encouraged people to vote absentee. There's no indication that there was, before 2020, a majority of Democrats using absentee voting. It was used by military officials overseas that wanted to send ballots home and by older conservative voters older voters in general that just couldn't go to a ballot box. So you're just making up the talking points that right-wing media is espousing since the 2020 election, and I'm not going to have you do it on my show, Gary. But appreciate your phone call. 844-967-2789. You can join Dueling Tangents. You can join me and Evan for a few more minutes left here in today's hour. But up next, we got our friend Joe in Madison calling in. Joe, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I think that was a good conversation. Because clearly Gary and maybe other people were not clear that, you know, you can seek to register voters if that's perfectly legal. And I think maybe sometimes just a primer on what you can and can't do is useful. And it came out during that discussion that you just had with Gary. So it was a little heated here and there.
No, thank you, Gary.
I take it as far as I can, Joe. I try to have the conversation. I try to have it calmly, but sometimes some of our conservative callers, you know, they get the good faith acceptance for as so far, and then as once it gets past that point, I can't continue with some of the talking points espoused by them.
I think it was good for the show, though, because it added, you know, for people just listening at home, there was a good discussion about, yeah, you can go and register voters, and that's fine. And what is ballot harvesting? And they have become these loaded terms, and it's not clear what they are. And I think some within the Republican right-wing structure, communication structure, are very happy to make it sound awful, just the worst thing when people are registered to vote. You know, so anyway, my one thought on all of this, and this has to do with just a quick example from a friend I have, veteran, been in a wheelchair, using a wheelchair for decades. And there is this notion, I think, sometimes that people in cities in a wheelchair can easily get around, maybe, but let's put winter on it. Let's put winter on it, and let's put you don't have a car, you don't have a van, accessible van. Let's put you that you're out, as my friend is, in a rural area. February, when that primary happened, when COVID was going full tilt, this is a guy who didn't leave his house for months. And he's not alone. There are other people in the disabled community for whom that is true. When the weather gets bad, living in a rural area, they do not have access. And that people within our Supreme Court are so thoughtless about not considering how that's going to work. Who can put in a ballot for them and where?
Exactly, Joe. And sorry to cut you short, Joe. We got the end of the show coming up here. I appreciate all of the excellent callers. And on that point as well, they don't like to factor in the fact that the U.S. Postal Service leading up to the 2020 election was dismantled by Louis DeJoy, a Trump appointee, to that position. And it's absolutely important to call out these things because, again, the Republican Party brought injunctions against Democracy in the Park events and lost those in court before the election. Folks, this has been Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian. Got tons of more headlines we're going to get into tomorrow. We will be back tomorrow at 2. Talk to you then. Sorry for all the callers.